Well, we hope that by reading through these verses in Philippians 3, different sections of them, through yesterday evening and today and tomorrow, that they'll be well embedded in our hearts and minds by the end of tomorrow evening. So we're going to read from Philippians 3 again. We're going to start this evening at verse 7 and read through to the end of verse 16 tonight, where Paul says, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." And we are grateful to God for his word and all that it says to us at this time.
Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And here's what it says: "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." The power of his resurrection. We looked at Paul, the person, a real person, living in the real world in the first century, living out his life academically, spiritually, a giant theologically, and trying to live out the mysteries that all of us have to live out. But as he's in prison, and that's his context where he's writing from, he's been on a missionary journey, and possibly this is the second missionary journey that he finds himself now in prison in Rome. He starts to write a letter to the Philippians, who've been extremely kind to him, sending him gifts, sending him a friend called Epaphroditus. And so he responds to that and sends them a letter thanking them for their gift, affirming his friend Epaphroditus and saying to them, "Listen, stay united. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you." But emerging from that instruction is a desire that is not only an embryo form in his heart, but has developed in his mind that he really wants to know Christ. He's not a cranky old guy coming to the end of his ministry, a bit disillusioned, a bit disheartened, but actually he's an old guy really wanting to know God more, wanting to know Christ more, and wanting to experience his power. And I wonder, on this celebration, this Thanksgiving, this anniversary service, is it a time for you to take stock and reflect, analyze and evaluate your life, where you are and where God wants you to be? Just a few weeks back, the church up in the King's Hall, or Throppney Bit Christ Church, invited Linda and I and Paul Reed and Priscilla Reed. You know Paul and Priscilla Reed from CFC? They've been friends of ours for 30-odd years. And we don't always agree in everything, but they invited us to go on to a panel, the four of us. And the subject was the Holy Spirit. They thought we come from a more conservative evangelical situation. They come from a more charismatic situation. They knew we knew each other and respected each other, but they were keen to know more about the Holy Spirit. And I think we need to get to know more of God's Holy Spirit. Paul, as I said, was a giant. Intellectually, he was a giant theologically, but there was a subjectivity in Paul that was so balanced, where he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to experience more. That's what he's saying. I wonder, do we? Where I grew up, there was a Salvation Army Goodwill Center. It was just at the corner of Buckingham Street and Selby Street, just there at the corner. And I always noticed the motto, and it was in their flag, a term in their flag, blood and fire. I also learned early in the studies that the French Huguenots had as their symbol a cross and a dove descending from it. And Paul always, in the heart of his writings, had at the core the kerygma, the cross, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's power came as a result of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul is longing in our verse to experience resurrection power. Not wackiness, not oddness, not extremeness, but he wants to know God's power. All right, let's do some work on this. The church was birthed and baptized in resurrection power. You look back at the first century church, with all its problems, with all its anomalies, with all its contradictions, it commenced, it started in resurrection power. Before leaving them, Jesus said, wait. Wait for the promise. He already said to the disciples in John 14:16, I must go that the Comforter comes, and when he comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. He says, really, guys, you need the Holy Spirit. Then Acts 2, he came in Pentecost after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Christ's resurrection was the greatest display of dunamis power over the physical and the spiritual realms. Colossians 2, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Peter 3 talks about the reality and the implications and the consequences of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. Jesus rose again. The disciples, and particularly the apostles, put their faith and their trust and their confidence in a resurrected Christ. That same power that raised Christ from the dead, according to Romans and according to Corinthians, dwells in the church. In fact, the church was to become witnesses. How would they become witnesses in the Roman Empire, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth? Through the power of God. Think of these uneducated, in the main, unsophisticated, uncultured fishermen. And it was actually said of them that they were able to turn the world upside down. Wow. What? How did they do this? God's power was made perfect in their weakness. And Paul wanted to live. He wanted to preach. He wanted to lead. He wanted to suffer with the anointing of God's power upon him. He knew it, that in his weakness he could be made strong. And throughout the church's history, there have been periods when the power of God was evidenced and displayed. Here in 1859, the revival, God came in an amazing way. People were broken. People were spoken. It wasn't just something psychological or philosophical. This was something that was real and genuine, and it changed people's hearts. Today we read of the church in China and Korea where they experienced the power of the resurrection. Regeneration of sinners. Christ being glorified. The church growing in quality as well as quantity. Don't you sense your need of him? You see, friend, it's all very well, this trite phrase, you can't change your circumstances, but you can change your attitude. I can't do that. You're right. It's only through God's power. Some of us get a bit tired. Others of us a bit lifeless. And if we're honest, some people get bored with God. It's an indication of where they're at. Surely there is a craving for times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Not something engineered, not something whipped up, but times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. The church in every generation is always in danger of being driven by program rather than by power. Busy, but barren. Active without the anointing. G.B. Duncan was a preacher in the Tron in Glasgow, and he had just in his study where he would write this little phrase, "Save me from the busyness of a barren life." You can get tired. You can get busy. But lifeless. First century church is not meant to be admired, but emulated. Do we need a fresh hunger and thirst for God? Here's Paul in a prison cell. He says that I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I really want to know this. I want to experience this. I want to prove this. Not in some extreme way, but in a deep, godly way. An attitude of repentance and renewal. An openness of more that will warm our hearts and put a spring in our step. Paul knew that Christ's resurrection power produced what? More love, chapter 1, verse 9. It produced more love that we were singing about. It produced more of the felt presence. Years ago, I was questioning everything emotional, everything subjective, everything that couldn't be analyzed, it couldn't be scrutinized, it couldn't be put on the table and evaluated. We need to come to our minds, but there is a subjectivity. For the peace of God, what happens? It passes all understanding. Do we need that? Don't we have that? More victory over sin. More signs following the preaching of the gospel. Paul says, I haven't arrived, verse 12. I may be a believer a long time. I may be an apostle, one born out of due time. I may have started a lot of churches. I may have had all kinds of experiences, even into the third heaven, and all kinds of stuff has happened to me, but I still haven't arrived. I press on for the goal. I want to win the prize. His desires here are all coming out because of God's power. You say, but what about my world? It's so different. Last year we were at County Mayo with the Golfers Week. And John Woodside, the Reverend John Woodside, was there, Presbyterian minister who's been in Kilkenny for a long time. And now he's just outside Dundalk, I think in Drogheda. And Linda and I had coffee with him in the one afternoon. And I said, John, without being trite or glib, what do you attribute hundreds of people coming to Christ? In Kilkenny, down through the years. And that hasn't been spurious, but they're still there today. An evidence of regeneration, an evidence of life, an evidence of spiritual growth. You're not there, but they're there. What do you attribute that to, John? He says, well, without seeming superficial, these people were hungry. These people were open to the Holy Spirit. These people were serious about God. These people were not disillusioned. These people were hungry. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary. It wasn't just about goals and short-term goals and long-term goals. While that's a good thing, he said it actually was a work of God in their lives. Don't you sense the need of that? A.W. Tozer, remember that old phrase said, the church, about the church 60 years ago, the Holy Spirit was taken away, most of the stuff would go on. Unnoticed. The New Testament church had its problems. And Paul had to address those. But the issues were of life and not death. And the church that was baptized in power needs to be constantly bathed in it. Paul says, as he writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5, verse 8, go on being filled with the Spirit. Go on being open. Don't close your mind. Don't get into a theological straitjacket, but go on being filled with the Spirit. Be open for more. Paul was, he preached in power. He wrote these letters under God's power. He finished well, depending on God's power. I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. There's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He says, you know what? And you know what I'm learning? There's a lot of guys not finishing well. And I'm not going to name names because it's so obvious. They're finishing with a lot of bitterness. How will we finish? Paul says, you've given me 70 years, Lord. I'm into this borrowed time. But you know what? I want to know you. And I want to know the power of your resurrection. What about us? But how is this realized? Let's be a bit more practical. How is it realized? It's one thing to raise the bar, but how can we reach it? Paul says in chapter 1, verse 19, he talks about the supply of the Spirit. He says, if you ask for more, you'll get more. If you seek for more, you'll get more. More of Christ. I've noticed in all of Paul's epistle, there is a yearning for more and a seeking for more. Paul knew that the physical body was going to be resurrected, chapter 3, 21, Philippians. But he is an example for us how this is realized. How did he realize this? He took time to reflect. My personality doesn't do reflection. I don't like you, Freddie, but I don't even like myself on my own. So it's not a natural temperamental thing for me to reflect. I like to be in the buzz. But God says to us, be still and know that I am God. Paul took time to pray, and every epistle he's praying. Thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. I bow before the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth. Paul's praying. But Freddie, I find prayer boring. So do I at times. Let's be real. So if I'm going to reflect and if I'm going to pray, I need the power of the Spirit because it's dry at times. Dry. Paul obviously left himself open for more. He sought for more. I can prove that. Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, 1 Thessalonians 1. Get the ingredients of Scripture there. He's pursuing God. He didn't sit back and say, you know what, I've done my deal. I'm going to sit back now. Let the young ones come forward. That's always a good thing to do, but he still says, you know what, I still want more. I want more of God's power. You see, it's easy to say it. You know, he grew up in the Church of Ireland. The Drew Memorial. It's down now. That church, and every week I would recite the Apostles' Creed. Tremendous. Tremendous theological piece of literature and biblical thought. And I would say, I believe in God. And I would affirm, and on the third day, he rose from the dead, from which he will come to judge the quick, and so on and so on. I mouthed the words along with others, but there was no reality or no desire. But there came a time. There came a period in my life. There came a moment in my life when I confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart that God raised Christ from the dead and I was saved by God's grace. Can you see the ingredients? Before I experienced the power of God's regeneration and conversion, the Spirit was at work in me so that I confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart that God had raised Christ from the dead. I had to believe that. And in some way, even in a small way, and I was saved by God's grace. That was the same salvation Paul had. Has that happened to you this evening? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you experienced the power of God? Has God been at work in you, making you uneasy about sin or righteousness or judgment to come? Is God at work in you? Because if God is at work in you, I encourage you to respond to him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you want to know more of the power of the resurrection? Years ago, I would have said, I got it all. Happy days. The Latin word credo, which is translated today as I believe, means I give my heart to it. I give my heart to it. Do we really believe in the resurrection power? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8 and 9, Romans 8 and 11, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Lives in us. Just think about that. That's easy to say. It's easy to preach. It's living this out. The same dunamis that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead actually was the same power that regenerated you when you were lifeless from the dead. And dwells in you. Dwells in you. And I'm not sure we've got that. I think we assent to it theologically. I think we say it in our creed. But I'm not sure. We're hungry to experience more. George Whitfield and Oxford went out of all dates, church, said of him, with a great theological mind and a great academic understanding of life and science. And it's recorded that he cries out to God, "Oh God, give me more of your power." You see, we need that in order to change our attitude. It's not a matter of mind over matter, you see. It's actually a matter of the Holy Spirit helping me. Helping me when that happens to me. Helping me in that family where there's bitterness. Helping me in that situation where it's horrendously difficult to prove God's grace is sufficient. It's actually calling upon God and saying, "Lord, I need this power. You regenerated me. You saved me. You've kept me. Will you help me to finish well? I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be resentful. I don't want to have chips on my shoulder. I want to be godly. And I want to pursue God. I don't want a hidden agenda. I just want God." And when Paul was sitting in a prison, he hadn't much, but he had everything when he had Christ. I wonder, as we close, and I'm closing, Johnny says that means absolutely nothing. That's my son. If I say that, but it does mean something. I wonder what kind of reality you're facing. Why do we need filled with the Holy Spirit? Because we leak. That's why. You're a leaky vessel, and so am I. That's why we keep coming back to church. That's why we keep coming back to prayer. That's why we keep coming back to community. That's why we keep coming back to the Lord's table. Because we leak, and we forget, and we get disillusioned, and we get tired. Seek until you find. Knock until the door is opened. Ask and you will receive. Can you see how one's passion is connected to one's power, God's power? Resurrection power is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we need to examine ourselves and embrace the spiritual disciplines so that we experience the reality. You see, it can. You know the best place to get hurt at times? The church. We're good at that. But in the midst of that, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "You know what? Man up spiritually. Be the person God wants you to be." As Paul looks back on his life, he could have nursed those hurts. He could have allowed bitterness to get into his life. He could have allowed to become himself to be disillusioned. But he says, "You know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make a choice. I want to know him. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I even want to fellowship in Christ's sufferings." That's tomorrow night. Fellowshipping in Christ's sufferings. God often, in his providence, brings things, allows things into our family or into our lives that we can't fix. And all that we believe about the sovereignty of God and the providence of God and the goodness of God is tested and tried. And we say, "Lord, I need your power to work in my weakness What is God saying to you tonight? Paul's power was not his intellect, was not his experience, but it was the Holy Spirit of God. And I am absolutely convinced some folks go to an extreme and blame the Holy Spirit and everything. Others react. And somewhere in the middle, the Word and the Spirit, there is a necessary balance. And everybody thinks they've got it. Paul says, I want to know him. And I want to know the power of his resurrection in your life and in mine. Are you open for God's power? Let's pray. And let's just take a time to reflect. I'm going to sing a great hymn, O Thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that says that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We thank you for the work of regeneration. We thank you that you baptized us by the Spirit, but we believe in our hearts there is more. For as we read the book of Colossians, we see how Paul wanted to have the fullness of God. And as we read Thessalonians and Philippians and Ephesians, we see such a desire in Paul to have more of this power. We just pray. In the midst of our hopes, in the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our joys, in the midst of our sorrow, may we experience the Holy Spirit of God, and that the same power that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead might not only dwell in us, but have full sway in us, so that we can change our attitude. Help us, Lord, we pray. Amen.